welcome to the Abilute Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
I'm going to teach kind of like a mishmash message of like what we were talking about at camp. So open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, or look at the screen, whichever one you want to do, because we're going to read this passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. I want you to think about this. Trusting in the Lord. Not just trusting on the Lord, trusting about the Lord, or thinking about the Lord, but we're going to learn how to trust in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it does not return void. That God, in you, all things are possible. With you, everything has been made. God, you have created the universe. You can change everything. God, you can change hard hearts. Lord, you can take broken people and make them new. Lord, you can take us from going one direction and turn us around when we learn to trust in you. And so we're asking God that you will grow our faith. In fact, stir up great faith in this church that we could trust in you with all our heart and don't lean on any of our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all of our ways, Lord God. And we want to glorify you with everything in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to jump in right here to Hebrews chapter 11 as we think about trusting in the Lord. I want you to think about that many people before you and me have had to take their whole life and trust in Christ. And there are a few key elements that are always and should always be a part of the trusting relationship. And one of those things should be fear. This might freak you out, but fear ought to be one of the key elements involved when we are truly trusting in someone or something. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. How many of y'all are ever scared when you're walking around in the dark? You cannot see what's coming or what's happening. Hope is not really hope if you know it's going to happen or if you already have it, right? The Bible teaches us that. But hoping in something you don't have or cannot see is where we're making up the gap with our faith, trusting that God is who he says he is, and we put our trust in him while we're afraid. We put our trust in him while we are suffering. Put our trust in him while we are alone or lost. It's all about being in him. You're with me, church? Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. And what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man and that God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. Verse 5, it is by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him, for before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Just pause for a moment here in verse 6. It's impossible to please God without faith because you need faith to get saved. Right? You don't have faith in your faith to earn more pleasure from God. All right? Don't just read verse 6 and don't read the second half here. Is that we're talking about for salvation's sake, you are saved by faith. Right? That's how you are saved. Your faith in Jesus is who he is and did what he said he did. He really did it. And you trust in that faith. That's how you are saved. And that's the only way you can please God is by trusting in Jesus. Jesus said in the book of John that the only work that he asks of us is to believe on him as the Son of God, right? He is who he said he is. That's what this is talking about right here. That's the kind of faith that pleases God, is when we fully trust in Jesus. Verse 7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before. By faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. That's kind of scary too, right? Feeling lost, scary, should be an element in trusting in the Lord. Sometimes we think fear is sin, and I think we're a little misguided when we just get, oh, can't fear about anything. Lord, forgive me, I'm afraid. No, it's about how we respond in our fear. What do you do with your fear? What do you do with the gaps in your life? That's what's most important, right? Where do you go when you freak out? Yeah, come on now. Yeah. And even when he reached the land that God had promised, and he lived there by faith, because he needed faith to even survive, for he had nothing, right? He was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to the city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God, which is our inheritance. Amen, right, church? It was by faith that Sarah was able to have a child, though she was 480 or whatever she was. Though she was barren, she was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. She believed that God would keep his promise, that God is. When Moses asked who he was, he says, I am. Always have been. I is. Right? He goes, who are you? I is, man. I is. That's who God says about himself. He just is, like he is always. Is, am, never changing. God trusted, Sarah trusted that even though it didn't seem possible, that God is God and he is faithful to fulfill his promises. And so the whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people like that, that the stars and the sky and the sand and the seashore, that there was no way to count them. All these people died still believing that God, what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. And they agreed that they were foreigners and nomads on the earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they call their own. If they had longed for the country they had came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he prepared a city for them. I want you to think about this, that when we are struggling, when we are suffering, when we are hoping, and we're waiting in the gap, and we're waiting in the moment of loss as we're watching life slip or things fall apart in our world, and we're afraid, this is where we keep our perspective and our eyes centered on what Christ prepared for us. What he died, he was risen, and he went on into heaven, seated in heavenly places, and we're seated there with him to prepare for us a heavenly home. And listen, so many times we get so focused on the gap in our life, we get so focused on the loss in our life, that we forget to take that loss and cast it upon the one who cares for us, that he may perfect that loss in him. Are you with me? Come on. This is good preaching right now. You take the gap, and when you begin to trust in him, he makes it perfect. Because you keep your eyes focused on the city which you're going to dwell. It's not Nikiski. Some of y'all from there too. You don't have to be ashamed. I flew in there this morning to come preach, right? I was there at a family reunion this morning. I flew in to be here with you. Amen. But I don't want to go back there. I love Nikiski, but I want to go to heaven, church. Come on. If I had to choose between Nikiski and, you know, the car lawn ornaments, you know, that are like, what do the rednecks call those? When they have like a car garden going on? You know, they like bury their cars halfway and they're like growing cars out in their yards. Well, that's all over in Nikiski. So I would rather go to heaven where they don't have cars growing out of the ground, you know? It's way better there. But listen, when you and I are struggling, we're looking at gaps, we've got to keep our eyes focused on that trusting, intimate relationship that Pastor Scott was leading us in worship today, saying nothing can separate us from that. Listen, life and the world can strip everything from you. It can take everything from you. But it can never take your relationship with Jesus. No one can separate you from that relationship. Nothing can touch it. Nothing can change it. No demon in hell, Lucifer himself, no one is, everything is powerless in the relationship that God has fortified and cemented between you and him when you choose him, when you choose him. And this is the thing, when he says, trust in me, trust in the Lord with all your heart, trust in, you got to get in. Just like the people of faith of old, we need to get into the Lord. I jumped into an airplane this morning, and it was early, and I was really hoping the guy was awake. Right? Like, walking up, he's all wiping eye goobers out and drinking this big, like, 36-ounce coffee. I'm getting nervous. I'm about to get in his airplane. I'm about to put my life, trust, my trust and life into him, something I care about. Now listen, when you're not fearing and trust, when you think you're trusting but not afraid, you probably don't care about the thing you're trusting. In trusting to someone, I care about my children, I care about being a father to them, right? And the people that care about me, so I don't really want to get into an airplane where someone else has total control and they could kill me or maim me. Right? I'll be all like, hey, Pastor Josh. I like my arms and legs. I want to keep them. You and I, every day, we attempt to put our trust into things, right? And if I give, you know, somebody something that really is not very important to me, and I go, I'm going to trust you with this, like, you know, the keys to my old beat up pickup truck. Here you go. I'm going to trust you with that. I really don't care. Like, I pretty much trust a 16-year-old kid, you know, that just learned how to drive with my old beat-up pickup truck, but not the keys to my brand-new Nissan, right? With leather interior and a sunroof and a little GPS dealio. Really sweet. I like ye. I'm going to be a little more hesitant to trust that to somebody because I kind of care about it a little bit more. And my baby, like my little baby girl, like, hardly any of y'all are going to get to drive her around. Because I don't trust very many people because I care a lot about that little peanut, right? What about you and your children? What's important to you? I want you to think about what things do you feel you're hanging on to. Those kinds of things are the things that the Bible says in the book of John. And we can just fast forward here. Book of John. 12, verse 24, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Promise. Jesus said this. Promise. Listen, those who love their life, who hang on to their life in this world will lose it. But those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Jesus is talking in response about his own life that he was just now willing to lay down. They're saying, don't do it. He goes, I have to, because I have to die so you can live. And he's modeled that relationship or that lifestyle for us in our relationship with him, that we have to learn how to let go of everything else in our life that can be taken from us and instead trust in the Lord. Are you guys with me? Come on. Yeah. Trust in the Lord. It's like that airplane. God's now the driver or the pilot of that airplane. Sometimes we get nervous even when God's driving the airplane. You're like, really, Lord, everything? And you start getting up against a few things in your life, and it's like, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can trust you with that. What about some of your relationships, right? What about some of your relationships? Oh, I don't know, God, if I can trust you with that. What about husbands and wives? You're like, husband won't change. Wife won't change. Can you stay married and keep loving if you're not in an abusive relationship? Okay, put a line right there. Get help if you're in an abusive relationship. But Let's just say we're not in an abusive relationship. We just don't like each other. Come on now. You should be lying to your pastor. I know how it is. I'm just about to click off 18 years, man. I know that life is real in marriage, and it can be hard. And there's times when you wake up and you go, you know what? I'm not only sick of your junk, but I'm sick of you being sick of mine. That's when you know you're really in trouble. Pretty much sick of you being sick of my stuff, and I need a break. It's time to go hit some golf balls, right? In those moments, rather than feel like you have to fix everything, can you trust in the Lord anyway? Sometimes you don't have the solutions for your marriage. You don't have the solutions in your workplace or for when your kids are going a direction that maybe you're not okay with. And they're figuring their life out with Christ. You can't be in control of that. Maybe you're up against different changes in your life. You have certain groups of friends that now that young people, you're choosing Jesus in your life. You're brand new safe. What friends are you going to let go of that aren't going to lead you into a productive relationship with Christ when the Bible says don't fellowship with the world? That means having intimate relationship with them. What are you going to do? What are you going to choose? Who are you going to choose? How do you still love them but not be with them? Put your trust in them and need them to be okay in your life. How are you going to survive that? How do you come out of one culture of lifestyle living and have the courage to go into another? Trust. Trust. Trust is not a reaction. Trust is a response. Trust is a response to crisis. Trust ought to be a response to the fear of loss. Trust ought to be a response when we're experiencing rejection. Not a reaction to rejection where we get mad and feel like retaliating and fighting back when people have harmed us and wronged us. No, we need to learn, even when the church wrongs people, even when your leaders wrong you, even when politicians or your parents or your kids or whoever it is that's around you, your close friends, they mistreat you or reject you or walk away from your relationship and abandon you. Even in that experience, the reaction isn't to turn back in spite or hate. It's to respond in love. And respond in love first starts with trusting in the Almighty God who was, who is, and who will always be. Come on. Right? Who was, who is, and who will always be. The bedrock of your life. The foundation for the creation and the sustaining of the entire universe wrapped up in Him. And that's the God that we get into the airplane with. And when we're struggling in crisis, we just go, God, just get this puppy up off the ground. I trust you. Let's go. Let's go. Come on, church. Amen. He will perfect your loss. He will perfect your loss. When you make a change with Jesus, when you make a decision with Christ, things change in you. You begin to lose things. Your life, like in John, it starts falling away. I've told the story many times of when I gave my heart to the Lord. All I wanted and all I dreamed about was football. I ate, slept, dreamed football. I lifted weights every chance I could get. I would go out in my yard and train all day and all night. It was it. And that's all I wanted to do. And I was pursuing getting a scholarship and all that kind of stuff. And I got saved. Had a radical encounter with the Holy Ghost. And God just said, that's not what I made you for. Talking like 5 years of my life. When you're young, that's like almost half your life. It's like everything I've ever known is giving away. You know, it's all perspective. You know, we know as we get older, it's not really like that. But it feels that way when you're that age. And I had to give it all up to choose something. I felt like Abraham. I don't even know what's next. So, Lord, I trust you. I'm in your airplane. Fly me wherever you want. Right? Whatever you want to do, not what I want to do. Trust needs to become the response when our lives and body parts start falling apart. When our abilities and our identity that possibly is wrapped up in those identities, those things that we can do and produce, when they fall away for us all, right? Either you die suddenly or you die slowly and everything gets stripped away. Everything will be stripped away. Merry Christmas. Happy Easter, happy Hanukkah, whatever else you want. Good luck. Trust in Jesus. Trust must become your response when you get hurt emotionally. Trust must become your response when you fail and you mess things up. Trust must become your response when you need and when you lack and when your relationships are broken. We must trust God with our possessions. And in this passage, and trust the Lord with all your heart, depend not on your own understanding, all your ways, you know, seek blah, 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 right, Jesus? Honor the Lord with your wealth. Sorry, I'm not trying to dishonor the word here. I just don't want to read it 12 times to you. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best parts of everything you produce. And then he will fill your barns and grains and your vats will overflow with new wine. Like, our possessions too. Like, that's painful and scary to give up. As we trust in God, but he promises when we give into him and we trust into him and give him everything, he will give it all back to best, and it'll be pressed down, shaken together, running over with new wine will be poured into your vats. Like, I'm talking better than you could have imagined will be your reward and your lifestyle in the kingdom, not only in eternity, but as you live and experience the kingdom of God, his righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit right now, today, when you learn to trust in him. Let's stand. 1 Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. At the right time, he will lift you up in honor and give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. For he cares for you, church, right? I want you to think about this. Those of you that maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus before, today is a great day to do that. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. Like, our theme of our camp was, the time is now. Why wait till tomorrow when you have now? The one thing you don't have a promise of is tomorrow. Time is not a guaranteed commodity. Time can be robbed from you like everything else in your life that you must learn to lose graciously. Right? That's hard. I'm not trying to minimize this message in any way. I think this is maybe one of the biggest things that we will struggle with, all of us struggle with in our life's journey, as we naively think we're indestructible when we're young, to when we find the reality when we're old that everything will be taken from us, and we look through the lens of our life of what is most important in our season of lasts and say, God, I want some more of that. I want some more of that. And that will be relationships with your God and relationships with his people. I promise you, if you want to know, this church is full of pillars in Christ that have lived many, many moons. They've lived a lot of years. Take your life, triple it, some of y'all, and they're still older than you. I'm not joking. And these folks know exactly what I'm talking about. And all of us have to get on a lens of wisdom in our younger years and decide we're going to live a life today as if there is no tomorrow for Christ, as if we truly have lost it all, and learn how to lose it all so in our loss it can be perfected, and we really learn the perfect loss, right? The perfected loss in our life. I promise you, you start living this way, you're going to experience the power of God's kingdom every day, every day. If you want to give your heart to Jesus today, I'm asking that you come out of your seat and you meet me down here in the front right now. Time is now. Anybody here, you say, Jesus, I want you. I don't want to mess around. I don't want to wait for tomorrow. I don't want to wait 2 seconds. Now, I want you to meet me down on the altar. Anybody here, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. Jesus, I want a relationship with you. I know I need to trust in you. Anybody here? Okay, I gave you your chance. You can do it next week, I guess, if you're still alive. You know I love you, but I can't promise your safety. It's not in my power. But I can lead you to Jesus, who loves you. And even if you're wrestling with Christ, I encourage you to keep wrestling and continue to pursue him, because he loves you. If you want to touch from the Holy Spirit today, I want to encourage you to turn to one of your neighbors. Come down to the front. One of our care leaders will be down here to pray with you. One of our pastors on our team. And we're going to, you know, do everything we can do to help you grow in your relationship with Christ Don't forget to make it to the picnic. Don't forget to encourage a young person in our church. Don't forget to lead somebody to Jesus and make a disciple. And especially, don't forget to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for everything you're doing for us, and that your mercy is new every single morning. We trust in you. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a fantastic week.